fun to drink with of the Republican lawmakers. That's so cool. That's so cool. That's so cool. Todd Alba did decide to text us who's fun to get a drink with in the GOP.
Fantastic.
Todd also confirmed that Robin Voss has virtually no sense of humor.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the 12 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And we are coming to you live, not from Waukesha, but from Madison.
Mad City, baby.
And Mr. Aaron Zommers is on the board. And we are having fun doing some crossovers today. We just had Todd Alba on with us. So if you missed any of that fun, you can always go back and listen to it as a podcast, either on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or anywhere you find podcasts. And so ironic that the one day that we're not in Waukesha, our next guest is going to be here to talk about Waukesha. And so, but you know, sometimes that's just how the timing goes, but not her first rodeo.
Nope.
She's been on the show. This is her third time on the show. Sarah Harrison, who is a former Democratic candidate for Wisconsin's Assembly, also a parent of two Waukesha teenagers, is back. We wished for happier news, but she is back to talk about developments from the last time she was here when we were talking about the Waukesha School Board and parental rights and the different bills they were passing on that, and also, you know, teacher uniforms and what they could and could not wear. And now I want to get an update on that, but there's also things happening with the library and banning books. Mm-hmm. And so, Sarah, we're very happy to have you back. We have to have you come talk about happy things at some point.
Right. Right. I know I always come with such dreary subjects, but they're important to talk about.
Absolutely.
They are.
They're critically important.
Yes. And so let's start with an update on the topics from the last time you were here, which was, that was in January.
Sure.
And the school board had kind of rushed, from what I remember, had rushed through without a lot of notice, awareness to parents that they were going to be voting on this, but basically voting on a parental rights. And we're seeing this all over the state. We're seeing this all over the country of bills and school boards that would force teachers to get parental consent to use any kind of different pronouns or a different name, or if there was any, if students came out to them in any way, they would have to tell parents. And so, was there some questions on the legality of that? Or has there been any changes since we last talked to you in January?
So it still is in place and being followed. It's a resolution. It's not a policy, and I think that's very intentional because policies are open to more scrutiny, and resolutions are supposed to be more like a statement of belief. However, it will be used to form policies, and one of the things that has come up is the library book review process is a policy that's being informed by that right now. Historically, the process has been a lot more public, and what they're putting in place now, again, they're taking some things out of policy, putting it in a handbook instead, because there are different, my belief as to why they're doing that is because there are different standards for handbook versus policy. But as a parent, I would only know if a library book was challenged, if the person who challenged it and then it went to committee was unhappy with the result, then it would go to a public process. But otherwise, I would have no idea that some material has been challenged and taken out of the library, and that my child could no longer access that material. Or I could constantly check a spreadsheet over and over and over to see if there's been any change to the spreadsheet, which is not how I plan to spend my time. No. I love spreadsheets, but that's not what I'm going to do with my time.
Sarah, I want to clarify something before we continue, if you don't mind. So if a parent makes a complaint about a book, they can pull it off the shelves until there is a public hearing on it. So they can remove it immediately, and then maybe 4 months later, 5 months later, the review process will come up. So in the meantime, that book is going to be gone. Is that accurate?
The review process doesn't include any sort of public hearing unless the complainant challenges the ruling from the process. So it would go to a committee, but it wouldn't be publicly accessible. It would go to a group of folks who would make a determination. Does it stay at the same level? Does it get moved up a level? Does it get removed from the library? And none of that is available to the public. The only time it would become available or visible to me is if they were unhappy and they appeal that ruling. So, or if I am keeping very close tabs on that spreadsheet that's out there for us to look at.
So someone wants this ABC book banned, and the committee agrees to ban it, and there's no pushback, and there's they accept that. So then the ABC book is gone.
Yeah.
And so what is the burden of proof for the person who is challenging the book?
I don't really think that's well defined. It's they are saying that things can be removed because they are deemed harmful to minors.
Well, that's a pretty broad. Yeah, that's a pretty broad definition.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me see.
We're talking to Sarah Harrison. While she looks for this, I'll just reintroduce what we're talking about. Sarah Harrison, former Democratic candidate for Wisconsin Assembly and also a parent of two teenagers in Waukesha. And she's been on before to talk about some of the things that are happening on the Waukesha School Board. Previously, it's been passing parental rights and basically putting teachers in a position where they have to out students to their parents. But then now it's moved over to libraries as far as the process of which books can get taken out of the library entirely. And it's been interesting. I haven't watched a ton of it, but there is, as she's looking for this, there is a quick promo for as long as it's still around. There is a TikTok called Waukesha Dumpster Fire. And it's all
yes,
just recordings from the Waukesha School Board.
Really?
Yeah. And it's
I don't know who
doing
is
God's
doing
work.
That, but whoever it is really pretty funny.
Because I'm imagining you've been at some of these, a fair amount of these school boards. So is there any like consistency of people there that you can have like narrow down who you think it is?
Well, I think that people are taking it from the YouTube channel.
Oh.
So I don't think it's someone who's actually there.
Got it.
Yeah.
Smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is smart.
Yeah. It really, I'm looking at this policy and it says, concerning educational materials that students, parents, staff, or residents of the school district may register a complaint regarding library materials, but it doesn't say, the complaint needs to be bound by any certain.
So it's pretty codified. Yeah, it's pretty wide open. They can define this is going to be harmful to my child.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
What's really concerning to me is that we had a library audit like just a year ago, and over 100 books were challenged, and a very small percent were either moved up or removed. I think it was less than 5% of what was challenged, and what was challenged was like less than 1% of the total books in the library. But there were books challenged that weren't even in our libraries. So that tells you this is not a grassroots, my kid brought this book home and I'm really worried about it. There were books that weren't even in
there. It was
there.
Like they got a list of books from some group.
Of the books that were, yeah.
Did you say 80?
We're not even in the library.
80?
18, 1-8.
Oh, I'm going to say 80.
Oh God, no, if it was, that would be even worse. But also another trend that we saw, and this is me kind of being a stats nerd, but is that when I look through those books that weren't on the list, many of them deal with LGBTQ issues. Many of them deal with gender. There are some that are race-related topics. You can see what they're gunning for, right?
Yeah.
And what really blows my mind about these parental rights people, you know, I'm going to decide what my child can read. I'm going to decide. But then when it comes to the states stepping in and saying, well, we're not banning conversion therapy and we're going to make these decisions about your child for you.
Yeah.
But otherwise it's all, you know, get your hands off my kid. I'm a parent. I have my parental rights, but not if they're LGBTQ.
No, of course. And with the LGBTQ kids, we already know they're a higher risk population in terms of mental health and, suicide rates, all those kind of things. And if you're going to take their resources away, take the books away that show them a model of someone else feeling the same way they feel, and take away, remove the ban on conversion therapy, which is completely been proven to be bunk. I mean, it doesn't work. All it does is make people feel really bad, and sometimes it ends up causing people to do harmful things.
Yep.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break, but when we come back, Sarah, I'd love to talk a little bit more. If you've talked to any librarians, because I had one librarian reach out to me who was not interested in coming on the show,
which I totally understand.
Mm-hmm. But as far as anecdotally, some of the conversations you've had with the people who this has put a burden on them just trying to do their job. But then also we'll end on a high note as far as talking about who's running for school board and potential folks who could maybe turn this around as far as what is happening on the Waukesha School Board right now. Our guest this half hour is Sarah Harrison. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow, a reading rainbow.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Aaron Zommers, thank you for lightening the mood with that great tribute to Reading Rainbow.
Well, yeah, we're talking about books, and what better song is there about books?
That is.
You are doing a stellar job, my friend.
He's giving you a run for your money.
I know. I'm feeling threatened.
Well, welcome back. This is As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. We are recording live from Madison. Aaron Zommers is our producer for the day, and we are talking to Sarah Harrison of Waukesha, parent of teenagers in Waukesha, concerned parent. Getting an update on, not my words, we'll say the words of the TikTok account, Dumpster Fire Waukesha, which we don't feel that way. We love being,
we love Waukesha.
We love Waukesha. It is a great community that has also elected some people who are passing resolutions on the school board for in multiple different ways that are harmful to certain groups of students. And I think on top of that, we haven't followed up. This is, I don't want to get too far in the other direction, but in a different community, not super far away, but Muskego, having issues right now as far as racial slurs and inappropriate behavior happening at a basketball game, that members of their community, I know this week, showed up and protested
very
during
upset.
Their meeting about this. And, you know, it goes back to the purpose of these books, the purpose of some of these classes, like diversity, equity, inclusion classes, is to teach children empathy and also to have kids who are part of those different groups have their image reflected in one way or another. Mm-hmm. And the fact that there are parents who, whether they're part of a bigger group, a national group, and being told and kind of infiltrated into their thought process as far as what is dangerous, versus on the other side, there is actual harm being done with prejudice and with bad behavior to minority groups. And yet the act of the school board is still to push it away. And so what we're really talking about, that's my rant. I'll get off my soapbox for a second. So Sarah, I guess, because I was interested if you've been able to talk to any of the librarians, because if you're just joining us, the conversation's been, there's a new resolution in Waukesha that librarians now, when there is a challenge to a book, they have a review process, but it is not open to the public as far as what that review process is or even what books are getting challenged. And so books are getting banned.
And they're getting disappeared before anyone even knows that this has happened.
Right.
And so have you had a chance to talk to librarians about their feelings about this?
So I haven't had a lot of conversation with the librarians. The ones I have talked to, though, really have emphasized that this is such a small section of, you know, segment of the all of the books that are available. And even out of that small percent, hardly anything needed to be addressed. So very few books have actually needed to move to a different age level or to be removed from the libraries. And they do have a selection process that they go through on the front end to make sure that things are age appropriate, to make sure that it's, you know, something that belongs in a school. And largely what we're seeing is not truly challenging the age level, it's challenging the content of, I will actually say I looked and I was pleased to see that this wasn't challenged in our school district, but there's a book around the country that's been challenged that's about two male gay penguins that adopt a baby penguin and things like that. Why is that being challenged? Only because of the LGBTQ content. It's not that there's anything explicit or anything like that happening in some of these books. Now, I'm sure that some of the things that did get removed, I'm not saying I guarantee 100% that every book in the Waukesha schools is perfect, but there is a big uproar about a very few number of books and most of them following similar content. It sounds an awful lot like censorship to me, but
and Sarah, I think
it's my word.
Yeah, and I think it's important too. What you had mentioned in the earlier segment is that they're trying to pass this off as a grassroots movement, and it really is questionable on whether or not that is true. There's a nationwide push, and there's a nationwide organizing effort to get this to happen across the country.
So I am so glad you said that, because that spurred a thought in my head. I actually went out and looked at, because there are a whole bunch of groups out there, right? There's the 1776 Project, there's Moms for Liberty. Here in Wisconsin, we have WILL, which is the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. There are a lot of groups out there, some are PACs, some are not, that are pushing for these different things, right? If you go out on the Moms for Liberty website, they have a template that you can use to write a parental rights policy. And the first sentence is, a resolution to affirm the commitment of blank school board to the fundamental rights of parents to direct the education of their children. The first sentence of the School District of Waukesha parental rights resolution is a resolution to affirm the commitment of the School District of Waukesha Board of Education to the rights of parents to be informed of and direct the education of their minor children. So they added informed of and minor. Other than that, it's the exact same,
same thing. All right. Well, we only have a minute left, so I just want to...
Oh, sorry.
No. It's fine. It goes fast. And so I just want to be able to end on who should people, for people who vote in Waukesha, who should they vote for school board, in your opinion?
So we have seen that WIS Red has bought our last two elections. The person to vote for in this election is Diane Voigt in Waukesha. And for folks in the Elmbrook district, it would be Preetha Kuradariara and David Irwin.
All right.
Those are the folks that you should vote for.
We will put that all on today's show notes. Sarah, thank you for joining us. Thank you for your work. And we look forward to you keeping us posted.
Thank you.
All right. Bye. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair, and we are recording live from Madison. Field trip, road trip for us, but we are very excited to be in the Civic Media headquarters, and we're very excited for our next guests. So, the Pulitzer Prize. It is regarded as the highest national honor in newspaper, magazine, and online journalism, literature, and musical composition. It's been around for over 100 years. And this year, Pulitzer Prize honorees are taking their work on the road. And guess where their first stop is?
Is it close?
It is close. It's actually where we are today. It is in Madison. And so here to talk more about the Madison event and the traveling tour, along with why journalism is so important and it's as important today as it's ever been, is Marjorie Miller, who is the administrator of the Pulitzer Prizes, and Raquel Rutledge, who is a public service investigative reporter with Journal Sentinel and has received the nation's highest honors in journalism, including the Pulitzer Prize for local reporting. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I guess let's start. Marjorie, this is the first year that this traveling program is happening, right?
The first year, and this is the first event. And the idea behind it is that people around the country don't often have the opportunity to speak with or hear or dialogue with Pulitzer Prize winners. And so they often don't know what goes into this kind of work, how labor intensive it is, and how expensive it can be, and how diligent these reporters are in tracking down the facts and the witnesses and often the victims of malfeasance and wrongdoing, corruption, negligence, whatever it is. So we want to take the journalism out to people to have a discussion. And in this case, it's specifically about health and safety journalism and how these reporters, Raquel from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and Corey Johnson from the Tampa Bay Times were really instrumental in looking out for the health and safety of their communities.
And so with the, how many different cities are you going? You're starting in Madison, which is where Raquel and Corey will be. Are you, Raquel, are you also traveling to the other cities?
They're going to, I think you're going to highlight work in other cities in the future. Not Corey and I aren't going on the road. They're going to highlight the journalism from other places in the future.
Got it. And so, Marjorie, how many in total, how many different events are there going to be?
Well, we don't know. This is sort of a proof of concept. We want to make sure that people turn out and feel that they get what they came for. And the idea would be to do three or four a year. Different ones in different cities around the country. and maybe more, or to do multiple events in a city, say, for example. Well, we had hoped to meet with groups of high school students, but it turns out it's break when we're going to be. That's what I mean about proof of concept. So based on what happens here, we'll decide how many we can do per year and how many events we might be able to do per stop.
So for this first one, when is it and where is it and how can people sign up? Or is there a limit to, you know, is there a space limit?
It is going to be held in Madison on March 28th at 7 p.m. in the Overture Center. And if you go to Pulitzer.org, you can RSVP. It's free. But there is a space limit of about 200, I think. But you'll probably squeeze.
Yeah, people will stand.
We'll squish a few more in there.
There are no fire marshals on the line here.
Exactly.
So I guess, Raquel, for people who are unfamiliar, what is your award-winning story that you're going to be talking about at the event?
It's a story. It's an investigation that we did in 2021 called Wires and Fires that exposed how electrical fires are often treated as accidents and not thoroughly investigated. And when we did our investigation, we were able to find that they disproportionately affect Black renters in the most distressed neighborhoods in our city. And so we took a deep look and found this disparity, and then that little was being done about it, that the politicians weren't aware, they weren't tracking the numbers, and very little was being done to address the issue. So that's changing slowly.
Marjorie had alluded, Raquel, to how long it can take someone to write an investigative piece like the one that you did. How long did it take you? And I know you've done a number of these pieces over the years. Have you ever gotten to a point where you're just like, ugh, I give up. I'm exhausted. I hit a dead end. Yeah. And I just, Lee.
Yeah, I mean, no, yes, you have to have a very long attention span for these types of projects. A lot of people think they want to do investigative journalism, but when you get into it, it's very stressful. You're making huge allegations, a lot of times against companies, against the government. You have no margin of error. You can't be wrong. It's a stressful job. It does take a lot of time. We had in this initial, this series had three major investigations as part of it, and then there were follow-up stories. So I would say that first investigative piece before we launched that, I would say it was about 6 months. And then it was a number of weeks in between each future installment. And then we've had a number of follow-ups since then. So it is a commitment of finances. We hired an electrician, a master electrician, to go out into the community and knock on doors with us and try to get into some places, some rental units, and let us have a look at their electrical systems to see what sort of risk really exists out there, because that's something that no one could say at that point. So there's a cost associated with that as well. It's intensive, but it is also something that we hear from readers that it's the reason they subscribe to our paper, that that's the kind of journalism they expect and want from their community. And so I think they have a sense of feeling proud and wanting to be to be affiliated with a news organization that does such work. So we got people that were really thanking us for being in the community. It's a population that often gets overlooked. So it's very worthwhile, but there aren't enough places in the country doing this kind of work.
Absolutely. And one of the things I think I read this as far as on top of Raquel, you'll be there. Corey Johnson will be there talking about his story, but also that it's going to feature some of the people who were impacted by your stories, as far as people that you interviewed, people that were now hopefully have had some conclusion to it. And so why was that important? And was that hard to get them to agree to be part of this, Marjorie?
No, I think they are very willing to help us spread the word. And to not just about their cases, but about the importance of this kind of journalism. And Raquel and I haven't spoken about this, but I imagine what she found in Milwaukee is not unique to Milwaukee.
Yeah.
That there must be other cities in Wisconsin and other states where this has been happening. And so I think people who have been through this, who have suffered losses or illnesses, want to alert people and try to get them help in other places. And we also, in addition to having the people who have suffered this, we have an attorney who is helping some of Raquel's cases. And we have an official from the Florida equivalent of OSHA who can talk about why this journal, you know, how this journalism helps to feed policy changes.
That's
so we want to look forward to impact.
This is I feel like this is such, we might have to drive up here, Jane, and come from Milwaukee to be able, so we can go to the event. But we're talking to Raquel Rutledge, who is a public service investigative reporter with the Journal Sentinel, and Marjorie Miller, who is the administrator of the Pulitzer Prizes, about the event that is coming up in March 28th, so next week, that is happening in Madison, for talking about Pulitzer Prize winners and the importance of local journalism. And I think Raquel and I got to do a video together at Milwaukee Journal Sentinel to promote the event, but we worked on basically a story that you had written that kind of highlights so much of why local journalism, why investigative journalism, especially now, is so important. And about a month ago, we had George Stanley on the show, and he talked about, over his career, some of the stories that Journal Sentinel did that saw change, that created change almost immediately. And so, Raquel, for you, what are some of the stories that you've done, just to put it into context for people, that what journalism can act, it's not just a report, it's not just a story, it actually holds people accountable, and there are ramifications when you find something.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. I mean, sometimes it takes many years. It's you know, literally earlier, it was last year, I wrote a follow-up story on a man who had suffered lung injury from coffee roasting. That was a story we had written about how there's a chemical in coffee plants that if the facilities aren't properly ventilated, the workers can be exposed to some really harmful chemicals that can cause lung damage. And so that's a story literally we worked on back in 2015, 2016, I think it was. And just last year, a man who had been injured, you know, won I can't remember, but I think it was about a $5 million lawsuit. So sometimes it takes a long time. There was a plant in the south part of Milwaukee where they were recycling 50-gallon drums, and the workers there were being exposed to chemicals, explosions, burns. It was a series we called Burned. And that the EPA just acted on that also. It took them years, but they finally acted to enforce some of the regulations and increase some of the regulations around that plant that was exposing the neighbors, not only the workers, but the neighborhood to these chemicals. So sometimes it takes a very long time, but, you know, often when we stay with it, I mean, that's the key, is to not take our eye off the ball, because a lot of times we write stories, and as you alluded to earlier, you know, sometimes there is fatigue and exhaustion. Mm-hmm. You think, you know, I've written it, I just, what more can I do? But the point is, you have written it and you have all the expertise. And so staying with it and continuing to write about it that's what really brings about change. I think sometimes if you just write one story, it's not going to be enough. There's talk about things, but little action often happens unless you stick with it.
Absolutely. Well, I have one more, because I want to reiterate all the information for the event, but sometimes when we have people who are in specific professions that get movies written about them or shows written about them, we like to ask people, what is the most accurate depiction in Hollywood of what you all do? Is there a movie or a show that is done to try to demonstrate investigative reporting and journalism that you feel like they actually got it right? Or are they all kind of too dramatic and not long enough as far as what it actually takes to do?
I think there are a lot of great, you know, we're basically all narcissists, so we like. But lately, I just love Alaska Daily. I think it's, if you haven't seen that, it's with Hilary Swank, and it's pretty wonderful as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, that's a good suggestion.
High praise.
Treats a real serious subject. So,
Raquel, do you back that up, or is there another one for you?
You know, I haven't seen that one, and I haven't seen She Said yet, but I have seen Spotlight. Yeah. Of course, Spotlight to me was really, that was one that I thought really reflected the truth of our work when they're down in the basement digging through those old, directories. Yeah, I thought, yeah, that some of our work is very tedious. And I felt like they did a good job of really getting into the weeds on how we do our stuff. So I would say that one.
All right. Well, let's remind everyone one more time about the information for the Madison event, where they can find the information, where they can sign up.
It's March 28th. It's a Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. And it's at the Overture Performing Arts Center in Madison. And it is, you can find the link to register on the Pulitzer website, pulitzer.org. It will also be live streamed, but we want you to come.
Yes. It's always more fun in person.
No doubt.
We will link all of that information on our show notes today. I will share it out on social media and maybe we'll even be there, Jane.
We'll give it our best shot.
Marjorie Miller, the administrator for the Pulitzer Prizes, and Raquel Rutledge, who is a public service investigative reporter for the Journal Sentinel. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. This is so fascinating.
Thank you for having us.
Good luck at the event. Yeah, so we'll see you there. All right. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
I love my Green Bay Packers, who won the first Super Bowls ever played. I love my Green Bay Packers. Pity Chicago, Detroit.
Welcome back. To As Goes Wisconsin.
Eddie J. Aaron, is that Eddie
That's
J?
That's correct. That's Eddie J. Eddie
wow. J. Yeah. Look at you. Huh? Is that because you've had to pull it up so many different times?
There's a whole plethora of Packer songs. And Eddie J's been doing those for a really long time.
It'd be interesting to try to figure out, and I don't know how you would ever have the final list of this, of which sports team has the most songs written about it.
That would be interesting.
I feel like the Packers have to be up there.
They've got to be a contender.
Just think of, Green and Yellow was a Lil Wayne.
Lil Wayne. We had an entire segment one day of just doing Green Bay Packer Christmas carols.
That's right. Yeah, there's
so
tons of them.
I feel like there's a lot, but because I'm not a fan, I'm like a super fan of any other teams, I don't know if there's, I've never done the research to know if.
Aaron, we've just been thrown a musical gauntlet, so we'll have to investigate these songs for other NFL teams and see what we can find.
That we will.
All right. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. That was so interesting.
Yes.
Getting to talk to Raquel Rutledge and Marjorie Miller. I guess right now we're not live. We're not streaming live in Madison, but for all Madison listeners who are going to hear this later in the day,
right.
Highly recommend going to that event. If it's not too much of a burden to travel to Madison, highly recommend going to that event. I think it's not every day, like they said, you get to talk to Pulitzer Prize winning journalists and hear about what it takes to do that kind of work. And we say this a lot on this show, like I couldn't do this job without journalists.
No doubt.
Because it's not like we're out there doing firsthand reporting. We're right. In the studio talking about their reporting.
Yep.
Putting a spin on it, giving it an opinion, breaking it down in maybe easier bites, but thinking about... I don't know if I've said this story on air, but getting to work in the newsroom in Milwaukee Journal Sentinel when I'm not here, and Allison Durr, who covers Milwaukee City Hall, she like dropped her binder of all the stuff for the city budget.
Oh my gosh!
Because we were going to try to help her with a video to try to sum it up.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, this is why I don't do your job. I'm not going through this. Like, I'm going to read what you wrote and then help you get it down to like 60 seconds. I'm not doing, this is why I did not become a journalist.
Well, and as Raquel Rutledge said, it takes months and months and months and months. And sometimes years and years before you ever see the fruition of what you did. But the fact that there are going to be people appearing at this event in Madison next week who were directly impacted by this story, I think just brings home again how crucially important local journalism is. If you can subscribe to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, if you can subscribe to your local, so important. They get away with so much when no one is watching. And that's the whole point of journalism.
Yep.
is to hold them accountable. And it might take years, but change can be affected. And I can't imagine how that must feel for someone like Raquel and the other reporters who do these long-term pieces. When there is finally something, I throw myself a big party. It's like, whoa, look what I helped.
When something actually
happens. Helped change.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
And so, yeah. So my hat's off to them as far as the work they continue to do. Really, it also just, I mean, that story, which the one that she won for, but also just the ongoing reporting about landlords and renting and the plight of so many people in Milwaukee that are completely exploited.
And trapped.
And
pretty much trapped.
In these like slumlords, crappy apartments.
Yep.
Because we've talked to Daphne Chen and Corey Spivak before as far as some of their reporting, and it is...
It's grim.
It's grim. And so the least we can do is read about it and support the work that's trying to get better conditions for so many people. All right. Well, on a different note, I heard you got something over there you want to talk about?
I am very easily amused. But Mike Pence, the former vice president...
Getting ready to run for president, probably.
He is gearing up for it and still dancing. You know, he's refusing. He won't appear and testify before he ignored his subpoenas. He won't talk about what happened on January 6th or what he knows on January 6th. So he's trying to do these end-around appearances and make him, you know, put himself on the stage without taking too much heat. Well, now apparently he is mocking the former president's religiosity. Which
isn't that the name of Bill Maher's
religious?
Okay.
Yeah. So at the recent annual spring dinner of the Gridiron Club, an exclusive group of Inside the Beltway journalists in Washington, D.C., Mike Pence poked fun at Trump's relationship with religion. This is from the Washington Post. Quote, I once invited President Trump to Bible study. He really liked the passages about the smiting and perishing of thine enemies. As he put it, you know, Mike, there's some really good stuff in here, unquote.
I didn't know Mike Pence had a sense of humor. That's actually pretty funny. I'm just going to say, of course, I mean, whether it's true or not, if it's not true, it's funny. And if it is true, it's also funny.
It is.
And so, because he's so buttoned up all the time, the fact that he's even saying anything of that's like at the detriment of Donald J. Trump is interesting. But that's also... It's funny because it's true.
Well,
that would be the only part that Trump likes about the Bible.
Well, of course. And I can think of a couple other portions, too, that he'd probably like. The other quotes from the former vice president that I find so interesting. Quote, I read that some of those classified documents they found at Mar-a-Lago were actually stuck in the president's Bible, which proves he had absolutely no idea they were there. Unquote. Yeah, so he's not cracking that book every night.
No. Well, you can't even hold it upright.
This is true.
You have to.
But is this going to save Mike Pence with the evangelicals? I would think this is going to just make them turn on him even more.
You know, it'd be interesting to try to get Brandon back, who we had over the summer, who is a former evangelical preacher.
Yeah.
And the mental gymnastics of evangelicals and the political alignments and things where I think they all know who Trump is, but if it's, you know, I think I've heard different theories as far as being so adamant about the abortion stuff and, you know, lo and behold, like he made good on his promise.
Yes,
that,
he
right?
did.
But I feel like Pence is deader in the water than almost anyone as far as trying, like even starting this out.
Yeah. I don't see how this redemption tour is going to end well for him. And again, Mr. Pence, the former guy's supporters were shouting to hang you. That might be something that would linger.
It's
with
not
me.
A great starting point.
Yeah, I think you should kind of keep.
And then you've done nothing to redeem yourself for like never Trumpers.
No.
And get those votes. So it's like, who are you? Who's your audience, man?
I don't know who's left.
All right. Well, we're taking a break for the top of the hour news. When we come back. Do you want to work for the DNR this summer? Because they're hiring. Nature, outdoors. Who doesn't want that?
Lawnmowers.
This is As Goes Wisconsin.
That's why I love my Green Bay Packers.
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.